Hallelujah, the name is Christ. We commence the ninth session of the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it goes and sell all that he has, and buys that field. So here, for the man, right, to sell all that he has, what is the first thing that he recognized? What is the first thing he recognized? James, give me your name, please, brother. Jeremy. Where's Jeremy? Yes, he found, right? He found a treasure. If he didn't realize the treasure was hitting the ground, there's no way he's going to go and sell everything all that he had, right, and bought that field. So for now, for you and I, right, you think Esau, right, when he sold his birthright for a bowl of red stew, you think he realized what kind of treasure his birthright was, or how important it was? Of course not, right? So nowadays, for you and I, right, give me another name, please, brother. Calvin, where's Calvin? What is the greatest treasure you have, brother? God, right? Yes, that's the right answer, right? Yes. God is the greatest treasure you have. So in other words, if you realize that God is the greatest treasure you have, then you will sell everything to gain God. Right? Paul was a great example, right? He was a Pharisee of Pharisee, right? And he studied under Gamaliel, right? In our word, you know, he's a top student, right? And they say when it comes to righteousness, he was blameless. But everything that he had, he sold all it had to gain our Lord Jesus Christ. But quite often, it's very difficult for us, right? We want, you know, this great treasure, but at the same time, we don't want to sell anything, right? In life, it's like this. So in our word, we cannot have our cake and eat it too, right? You guys know the saying, right? You're not too young for that, are you? You guys know the saying? Yes, right? So what's that mean? You want your cake and eat it too?
It's like when you can't have everything, because when like the cake represents like what you
Yeah, I know. You know what it is, yeah. Yeah. I think everybody know what it is, right? You know, had an expression before? You want your cake and eat it too, right? In other words, if you have a cake, you have it already, right? Then you should eat that cake. But the thing is, if you want that cake and then you want to eat the other cake too, right? So now you want both, right? But a lot of time you cannot have. You ever see a seagull? You guys go to the beach, see the seagulls, right? You throw bread and stuff to them, right? So if the seagull have eating their, you know, their, what is their claws? What is it? What do you call? Say their claws? What do you call them? Their feet, when I say their feet, right? They're full of bread, right? So they're flying up, right? And then you throw some more bread on the ground, and then guess what? Yes, they will drop all the other bread, and then they come down try to get more, but you can only fit so much in his feet, you understand? So for you and I, quite often we always think, let's live our lives like Solomon. And then on the end, we want a conclusion of Paul. I always have this kind of concept. But it doesn't work that way. If Paul be able to do that, then he would do it already. Why would he get rid of everything to gain Jesus? So that's why for you and I, the greatest treasure is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we realize that, then we will sell everything that we have to gain our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what happened. But the problem is, we have no idea what kind of treasure we have. That's the problem. Because most of you are born in church, right? And when you're born in church, sometimes you take it for granted. Why? Because you're born in church and you really never been to other churches before. So you really don't realize how awesome, how wonderful this church is. For me, I've been to many different churches before, right? So that's why when I come to TJC, really nothing is like it. Why? Because God's Spirit is here. God's truth is here. But you and I must realize this is the great treasure. You know, every time we have evangelism, right? And if you put a sign out there, right? Anyone who come to church, sit for 1 hour, will give you $20. You think the church would be completely full? You put a sign out there? Yes, it would be full. But if you say to them, anyone who come to church, we will show you the way to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You think people will come over here? No, right? Because they don't realize $20 compared to eternal life. $20 is nothing at all. But people rather choose that than eternal life. So for you and I, do not make a mistake. I remember when my wife and I first met, right? And she was going to school. And I really didn't have too much money, right? Because back then I was like a social worker, right? We don't make too much money. So, and when I came to TJC, and during the time she was studying in France. So when she was going to come back for vacation to France for vacation, because I love my wife so much, right? I had about $500 in that time, right? So I went to the flower shop, and I buy all $500 worth of flowers, right? So I fill her room with flowers, right? Why? Because for me, the money, it doesn't mean anything. But what it means is my wife, I want to make her happy, right? But the time she came from France, she in her room, she walked in, wow, the room is full of flowers. And guess what she said? Yeah, why you waste money, right? Why you waste money? We should take money and go out for some good dinner, right? Because my wife, she's like that, right? But you just get her one flower, she's very happy, right? Yeah, I don't waste money, but at the same time, she know I'm thinking about her, right? She get to know all this kind of stuff about your wife in your future, right? It's very important, right? Okay, beside the point. So, the treasure. What do you feel is the most, right, the greatest treasure in your life? If you say, I lose Jesus Christ, then you're on the right track. But it doesn't mean, even though you know I lose Jesus Christ, is the greatest treasure, it doesn't mean you can obtain it so easily. It's not like that, right? Yes, we know he's a treasure. That is the beginning. Then what must we do? We ourselves must go and sell all that we have and buy that field. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? What story in the Bible tells us that this man sold everything, right? Got rid of everything to get our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone know the story in the Bible? In New Testament. Right? Even though he had high status in society, right? Even though he was rich, right? But he's willing to get rid of all those things. Why? To gain our Lord Jesus Christ. Who was that? Who was that? Paul. Yeah, Paul. Okay, we talked about Paul already. But his story in the Bible, right? Anyone? I'm sorry? Cornelius. Actually, he didn't really sell it. Like Cornelius, he had good faith, right? But I didn't say he sold everything, right? He must get rid of everything to gain Jesus, right? Yes, Zacchaeus. Where's that, brother? Zacchaeus. Let's study his story, right? So we also can learn from him. Zacchaeus. Where is that, brother? Anyone? Zacchaeus is a tall man, right? No, he's not, right? He's a short man. Still have Zacchaeus, right? Yes. Yes, amen. Luke 19, right? Luke 19. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2. Luke 19, verse 1 and verse 2. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Right? So here, why did the Bible say Jesus entered and passed through Jericho? Why did the Bible say that? Why? Why did they have to say, why just say Jesus went to Jericho? Why say passed through Jericho? Why? Brother, give me a name, please. Tammy. Oh, okay, Tammy. Okay, but what's that mean? What's that teaching us? Yeah, he's walking through Jericho. Why did he have to say that? Okay, okay. But for Zacchaeus, what does that mean? What does that mean? Anyone? Yes, sir. Yes, exactly. So in other words, here, the reason the Bible said, here, Jesus passing through Jericho, so this is the only chance that Zacchaeus, right, can see our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like here, for these 2 weeks, right, for these whole years, if you don't have any other seminar to go to, this is the time that you can see Jesus Christ. Right? Because if not, and then, that's it, the whole year, maybe you're not going to be able to experience our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So actually, quite often, the Bible tells us Jesus went through this place, through that place. Why? Because then you must hold on to the opportunity. So I know many truth seekers, right? They come to our church, and even though God moved their heart so much and so many times, they still refuse to be baptized. Right? Sister, remember our friend Ron in Sacramento, right? Was he a nice guy? Yes, he's a very nice guy, Ron, right? And he'd been coming to our church for 6 years, 7 years already. He believes everything about our church except praying in the Spirit. And he was such a nice guy, right? Because I have many lunch and dinner with him. So one time when I was in Hawaii, I received a phone call from the council said, Ron wants to be baptized. And I got very excited. I said, praise and thank God, finally, right? And I say, why does he want to be baptized? He said, oh, he had cancer and he went to the hospital, right? So that's why I want to be baptized. Okay, that's still very good because he know the truth, our basic doctrine, more than most of the members. So when I left Hawaii and then I went back to Sacramento, we can do special baptism. So I went to visit him in the hospital. Then he changed his mind. He said, well, I don't want to get baptized anymore. And I say, why? He said, because the doctor says cancer is not unto death. Right? So now I would say he's not going to die from his cancer. Then he feel like, wow. So disappointed, right? And then, you know, this guy, he's about 6'3", 6'4". And then, you know, he's, because his cancer, even though doctors say, and he himself said, God told him, this is what he said to us, God said that he will not die from his cancer. Then the last time I visit him, he's 6'3", 6'4", he weighs maybe 130 pounds, 140 pounds. He was all bones. So I went to visit him. And there were times when we kneeled down and pray. And as he kneeled down and prayed, guess what? He started to speak in tongue. When he started to speak in tongue, he stopped. He opened his eye. He refused to continue to pray. I was completely in shock. Why? Because he's so stubborn, right? And God wanted to move his heart. And there were times we tell him, Ron, you need to be baptized. We need to be baptized. And he's a good friend with, you know, Brother Roger, Felicia's dad, right? They always hang out, right, and talk. And he's so stubborn. Then we say, Ron, even though you think you're saying that you're not dying from cancer, look at you. Look how skinny you are. You're all bones, right? And then after that, I went back to Hawaii. A week later, I received a phone call. He died. Not getting baptized. Take the opportunity. It's sad. I mean, this kind of story is sad. But for you and I, we're the chosen children. We must take every opportunity to experience our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this RHDS, when you experience our Lord Jesus Christ, then you this experience will give you, right, increasing your faith to last you for the rest of your life. Remember when Peter experienced that Lord Jesus Christ on top of the mountain, right? Did he forget when he got older? Did he forget? No. Why you say no? How do we know he didn't forget? Are you just making it up? Did he forget? No, during the time when he saw Jesus Christ transfigured right before him, right? He said, Lord, it's so good to be here. And that experience, he remembered the rest of his life, even though he became old, right? How do we know? How do we know? Anyone? Brother, give me a name, please. Sarah, where's Sarah? Oh, Sarah. Oh, see? Look. How do we know? Sister, you helping her out over there? Yeah, she's helping out. So, sister, you can tell me. Where is it? Yes, can you read it out loud? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse what? Seventeen, 18. Can you read it out loud, please? Amen. You can see Peter is already really old already at this time. But because he experienced the Lord Jesus Christ, he remembered the rest of his life. He remembered the rest of his life. So that's why when he's talking about Jesus going to go through, right? In our world, we must take the opportunity, right? Take hold of the opportunity to experience our Lord Jesus Christ. During that time when Peter was sleeping on top of the mountain and he did not see our Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before him, then I think Peter would be a different Peter. Really? And then he wouldn't be able to write, right? 2 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 17, 18, right? He wouldn't be able to write that, right? Because he wasn't there to experience this. For me, since I came to know Jesus Christ, I always, my goal is every seminar I go to, if God teaches me one new thing during the seminar, I will take hold of that, right? And try to practice the rest of my life. So that's why here, Zacchaeus, let's go back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. So Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So in other words, if Zacchaeus did not take the opportunity, that's it, he's gone. Just like for you and I. If we don't take the opportunity to sell all that we have and buy our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's a great treasure, then sometimes we'll lose that opportunity. How many of you go on Craigslist? You guys ever go to Craigslist buy things? You go on Craigslist? Yeah, be careful, right, young ladies? Be careful of Craigslist, right? I love Craigslist. Right? I'm the Craigslist, you know, I love Craigslist, right? Because you buy everything for so cheap, but you got to be careful, right? But when you buy something, if you see something you really like and you do your research on it, you must get it right away. If not, it's gone, right? Because my wife, she's very laid back, right? So we look on something to buy. And I tell, this is the right one, right? Because the price is listed way below, right? You should get it, right? She's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, right? Of course, by tomorrow, it's gone already, right? So with Christ, it's like this. Really, every opportunity, right? Because quite often, you and I, right? Heraclitus, he's a great philosopher, right? He said you can never step in the same river twice. What does that mean, brother? You can never step in the same river twice. Yes. It's always new. Time is always flying, right? So in a river, it's always flowing, right? So when you step there, then you step again, it's new water, new place. So you can never have the second opportunity. Really, with God, it's like this. Sometimes when you kneel down and pray, you feel so close to God. And maybe the rest of your life, you never feel like that again. Never. But you must take hold of the opportunity, right? Just like Zacchaeus. Then verse 2, now behold, you can see, right? Once again, the Bible says, behold, meaning pay attention to who he is and what he is and what we can learn from him. That's why the Bible says, behold. There was a man. In other words, he's like you and I. He's a man, right? He's not a goat. He's not a donkey, right? He's a man just like you and me. and his name Zacchaeus. What's Zacchaeus mean? What does Zacchaeus mean? His name is very strange, right, compared to what he does. He's a chief tax collector. But his name mean what? You know that? Anyone? Quite often you read the Bible, right? Any name, you always try to Google it, right? I go on the, you know, whatever, thesaurus, whatever, what it means, right? The Bible dictionary, right? It's very important. Because the name, for example, right? You know Gideon, right? Gideon, right? And do we feel he's a righteous person? He's a humble person? We always think so. But read his story again. Actually, he had a hidden pride, right? His first son's name was what? You know his first son's name? Huh? Yeah, actually his first son's name is Elimelech. Elimelech. You know what Elimelech means? My father is king. Right? So can you imagine you name your father as king, right? So every time you call his name, Elimelech means, oh, his father's king, right? Now you have a son, I name him, right? Booty is handsome, right? I don't know what it is, but you know. So every time someone calls him, they say, oh, he's, you know, Booty's father is handsome, right? You understand? So actually, read his story again, you see. Even though he said, no, God will reign over you, this and that, right? But, hey, give me all the things that you have, right? We make into an idol, right? So you can remember that I'm the one that give you victory. It's like this. So that's why, if you are not proud, why would you name your first son Elimelech, my father's king? There's no way you do the kind of stuff. So names are very important. So now, would really, when you study the Bible, Zacchaeus, even though he's a chief tax collector, but his name is so just the opposite of what he's supposed to be. What is that? Anybody? Okay, because you know, I Googled his name before, so I can tell you the answer. His name means righteous or pure. That's strange, right? A chief tax collector. His name is righteous or pure. But actually, his name's already seem like it's already, this is what he's going to be like after he found out Lucius Christ. And who is this man? He was a chief tax collector. So what's that mean, chief tax collector? What's that mean? Because no one liked the tax collector, right? So he's a chief, right? So this means in society he had high status, right? That's why he was rich. He's a chief tax collector, and he was rich. High status in society, and also he has a lot of money. In the Bible, very few times describes someone as rich. Zacchaeus is one of them. Is one of them. So even though he has high status in society, even though he was rich, but who was he looking for? What was he looking for? Yes, he's looking for Jesus. Right? He's looking for, if that is the case, what does that mean about his life? What does that mean about his life, sister? Yeah, what do you think about his life? If he's rich and have a high standard in society, right? But he's looking for Jesus, what does that mean? Okay, so he's willing to lower his status talking to Jesus. But remember, during that time, all the tax collectors, they are sinners, right? But Jesus is the son of David, right? So in the eyes of people, actually, Zacchaeus is such a sinner, right? He's such a sinner. So it's a little bit different, right? So, but if you have high status in society, and he was rich, and what's that say about him if you want to seek for Jesus? Yes, exactly, sister. This means even though he had high position in society, even though he was rich, these two things cannot fulfill the void that he has inside his heart. Because he tried to find the meanings in his life. So in other words, it teaches us here, if we find a great treasure, we must sell the status in society that we have. We must sell the riches in society that we have if those things block us from seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. He's very important. Quite often, you and I, if God bless us, the more God bless us, the more we should seek for Him. Not the other way around. Don't forget that, right? The reason I want to share this with you because when you get older, right, when you make a lot of money, you have good career, quite often we put Jesus Christ on the curbside. Really? He's just like someone that we go say hi once in a while, right? That's it. But it should not be like this. We sell all that we have. But the thing is, when we sell that all that we have, we receive even more. Right? That is the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quite often people ask me, oh, you know, Vudi, you see me, you sacrifice a lot, right? When you come to know Jesus Christ. Actually, I didn't sacrifice anything. Not even that. God blessed me even more than before. Now I have two houses, right? I have one in Boston and one in Dallas, right? And with my salary, there's no way I can have two houses, right? But for some reason or another, God always blesses with something, right?
Really?
But the greatest blessing of all, 11 of my family members came to get baptized and receive salvation. This is the greatest blessing of all. There's no money in the world that can buy this kind of blessing. So in other words, don't think when we sell all that we have to gain this treasure that we're going to lose something. No. We gain even more. And these... the amazing thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You know, when we go to Africa, a lot of our brothers and sisters are very, very, you know, poor, right? But some brothers and sisters have such good heart, right? Even if they have no money, whatever they have, they would go out, right? And try to buy us food to eat, buy us things to drink. For example, you know, Coca-Cola, a bottle of Coca-Cola, you know how much it costs over there? In like Kenya and Ghana, guess how much it costs? Guess how much it costs? What do you think? $1. $1. And that $1 is a day's wage. So when we go there, right, and brothers say they have no money and they buy us a Coke to drink, because I don't like Coca-Cola, but for them that is very, you know, this is such a great, you know, gift to give you, right, when you're there. So even though they have no money, but they go out, right, and try to get us the best food and Coke to drink, right? Even though it costs them one day's wage, right? Maybe someday you guys make $500 a day, right? You use that $500 to buy something for someone to visit you, and you don't even know them. Because they are brother and sister, you use that $500. That's a little crazy, right, if you think about that, right? But this is what they're doing, right? $1 they make per day, they buy Coca-Cola for us to drink. Why? Because their heart is just so beautiful, right? So, but when they do that, actually, we never leave them empty. Because how can you leave that brother and sister empty, right? When you leave, when they have that kind of heart. They go out of their way, they do this for you, that for you, right? Really, this is the same thing. Actually, if we, as human beings, can be so touched by that kind of love, how much more God be touched by our love if we have this kind of mentality toward Him. When we, the more we give, the more we receive. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is very faithful, right? So here, just like Zacchaeus, let's go back to Luke 19. Zacchaeus. Yes, even though high status society, even though he's rich, but he was not satisfied. If money and status can satisfy him, why did he look for our Lord Jesus Christ? There's no point, right? There's no point. But look at verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not. This is very important, right? So don't think that one day you become rich and wealthy, have high status in society, that if you want to see Jesus, you can just see him. You understand what I'm saying, right? So in other words, everybody have the equal opportunity to experience that Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't matter how rich you are and how poor you are. But what's more important is where your treasure is. That's the most important thing, right? Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So in other words, yes, even though we have high status in society, even though he was rich and he wanted to see Jesus, but the Bible says he cannot. But then what? Why did he cannot see Jesus? Why? The Bible said because of the crowd, than because he was short of stature. Right? Short of stature. So what's that mean, spiritually speaking? Yes, even though he's rich, high standing society, but there's two things that's stopping him from seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. What was the first one, brother? His height, he was short of stature, right? And second one, brother? Because of the crowd. So for you and I nowadays, what's stopping us from seeing our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the crowd? Crowd? You have a lot of friends, sister?
I have some.
You have some? Yes. You like the coolest kid on the block? Oh, it's cool? No. Yeah, don't be too cool. Sometimes too many friends, then you have no time to meet Jesus, right? So the crowd. Right? So what's some of the crowd that block us from seeing Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the great treasure, right? We sell all that we have. So in other words, it doesn't matter what kind of crowd in our way, we will sell and get rid of it to see a Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime what? Video games, right? I know, sister, you guys don't play video games so much. Maybe brothers, right? You guys still play video games? You guys still do? People still do? Yeah? Some brothers still do play video games? Right? What? Maybe now, right? The internet, right? You get surfing all day, right? In the internet. Maybe those are your crowd, right? So whatever crowd it is, you must get rid of it. Why? Because if that crowd was in your way, then you cannot see Jesus Christ. But if we know he's a great treasure, we get rid of all those things. It doesn't matter what kind of crowd it is. But there's another reason, because it was short of stature, right? Short of stature is much more important than the crowd. Why? Because the crowd always going to be there. Is it not true, right? The internet going to be there. The video game's going to be there, right? The shopping going to be there, right? Whatever it is, your friends are always going to be there. But if he was like 6'5", and the crowd was in his way, can he still see Jesus? Yes. See, the problem is not the crowd. The problem because he has short a stature. So the same thing for you and I. This world always going to exist. And those who Satan used to block us from Jesus Christ always going to be there. But it's our duty not to be short of stature. When the Bible said all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, is that true? Is that true? What do you guys think? Yes? How many of you say yes? Raise your hand. Why do you guys say yes? If all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, you and I, we wouldn't be here. We shouldn't be here. Of course, it's yes and no, right? For you and I, no longer we fall short of God's glory. Why? He died for us. He died for other people too. Other Christian too, he died for them, right? And why no longer we fall short of God's glory? Okay, Holy Spirit. Okay. What else? Yes, water baptism. So when we are baptized, we put on who? Yes, Jesus Christ. So we put on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, he is the what? He's the image and likeness of the invisible God. So don't go around saying we are short of stature, right? We fall short of God's glory. If that is the case, this means we don't believe that Jesus' baptism is not effective. But the problem is, we must keep our status the same height as in the beginning when we were baptized. We keep our clothes as white as the beginning when we are baptized. That's the problem. But for you and I, no longer we fall short of God's glory. Why? Because not because of you and me, because we have put on our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the image and likeness of God. Remember when God said in the beginning, he created man his own image, his own likeness. You think God looked like me? God looked like you? What does that mean when he said created, right? In our own image, his own image, own likeness. What does that mean? Sister, what do you think? Does God have big ears sometimes? And characteristic. What kind of characteristic is that? What's that? The way you feel, we feel. Okay, okay. So does God feel hungry? Not physically. Or he feel hungry spiritually? He is the Word. How can he feel hungry, right? Of course, Jesus, he feel hungry and thirsty. We're talking about God, right? He doesn't feel hungry. He doesn't feel thirsty, right? What does it mean? Who can find, say, look, what is the likeness? Create his own likeness, own image. What's that mean? Brother, can you, you know what I mean? Okay. Where can you find that? I think Pastor Ho shared with you, right? Right? If I listen carefully, I think Pastor Ho shared with you. Okay, we'll see if that's true or not. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 24. Did he share this with you guys? Chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Yes? Did he share this with you? Yes, I think so. Right? If some of you guys take good notes, you'll see. Right? He shared this with you, right? Say 4:24. And that you put on a new man, which created according to God. And what does that mean, to create according to God? True righteousness and true holiness. That's what it means. So in other words, don't go around saying we still fall short of God's glory. We, not because of ourselves, because our Lord Jesus Christ, we have put on him. So because of this, once again, we can boldly go directly to God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So no longer we have this short, right, short of stature, fall short of God's glory. But the promise, because we live in this world, and the sins, you know, continually to make our garment dirty. And sometimes the true righteousness, true holiness no longer is there. Why? Because of the sin of this world. But if you and I still fall short of God's glory, this means that baptism is not effective. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? But everyone who born a woman, they born in sin, fall short of God's glory. But those who born of God, you and I no longer fall short of God's glory. Okay? Everybody understand that? But we must maintain that status. We must maintain that status. So that's why for Zacchaeus, let's go back to Luke 19. Luke 19. For Zacchaeus, the crowd is not a problem. Just like for you and I nowadays, the crowd is not a problem. Even though they're a problem, but they're not a problem. They're not a problem if you and I always filled with the Holy Spirit and use the Holy Spirit to make us fly high, right? We can see over everything. Yeah, the crowd can be there. Can be a million people in front of us. But if you're short of stature, even five people in front of us cannot see in front of you. But if we are filled with God's Spirit and we don't have short of stature, even a million people in front of us, we can see our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Right? So in other words, we cannot blame the things of this world. Because the thing this world is always going to be there. They are there. That's why Jesus Christ said what? You must live in the world, right? You're not of the world, but you must live in the world. But don't let the world, don't not conform to the world, but transform by renewal of our minds, right? So I mean, the way we think, the way we do things are very different from the people in the world. And that's how we can transcend beyond the physical things in this world. So here, Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus Christ, but he could not, even though he's rich, have high standing in society. Why? Because the crowd was in his way. Then he, because he was short of stature. Remember, right, when Moses came back from the mountain and the chosen people have built in the golden calf, then Moses said to Aaron, what have you done, right? What did Aaron say? Yes, he said, the people make me do it. Actually, if you look at Aaron, the people did not have to twist his arms. If you read the story why he built a golden calf, right? He's the one who encouraged them, hey, give me your earrings, give me this, give me that, right? Actually, but he said what? He blamed on the crowd. Forced them to. So you and I, we cannot also do that, right? That's why someday when you argue with a brother or sister in church and you don't want to come to church anymore, then when you go to heaven, you're being judged and Jesus say, why haven't come to church? Oh, because of that brother. He makes me upset, right? So that's why I never come to church anymore. And Jesus said, okay, that's a good excuse. God, you can go to enter the heavenly kingdom. Of course not. Our faith is our own faith. So don't allow anyone or anything to stop us from seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. You think Jesus is going to care if the crowd was in Zacchaeus' way? Then Zacchaeus tried to look at our Lord Jesus Christ, then he never see him, then on, no, maybe later on, like 5 years later, right? And Zacchaeus said, I couldn't see you, right? That 5 years ago when you came to Jericho, because of the crowd. Then what Jesus is going to say? I'm sorry, right? It's too late already. So the same thing for you and I. Don't make an excuse. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, right? Adam, who was the first person he blamed on? Who was the first one? Huh? Eve. She was not the first one he blamed on. Who was the first one he blamed on? Huh? Yes, God. He blamed on God. God, the reason I sin because you make this woman. Right? You make this woman. If you didn't make her, I wouldn't sin. Of course, human beings, that's the natural tendency. Always blaming everybody else for our own sin. So you always have to have this in mind. If one day I have no longer preaching, no longer a member of the church, I can never blame on anyone. I blame on myself. The same thing for all of you too. Because right now, God gives you the Holy Spirit, right? To teach you the way of God. So you must utilize that to build your foundation so no one can deceive you. So here, Zacchaeus, even though he was short of stature, the crowd was in his way, then what? Then look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him who was going to pass that way. See, he found a way. Why? Because he feared that Jesus, he really wanted to see him so bad. He saw it, right? This means not just looking to see him. He had desire, yearning to see him. Why? Because he thought Jesus can be able to fulfill the void inside his heart. Just like for you and I. If we know that Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure that we have, so we would do anything and everything to try to gain that treasure. You would sacrifice many things, right? One of the brothers in Northern California, he wanted to buy a new camera, right? Because he loved to take pictures. And his wife said, nope, we only have budget, right, for certain things. But because his brother wanted to buy this certain kind of camera, and his brother, he loved to drink Starbucks coffee every morning, right? And he took like a big Starbucks coffee, right? And I don't know how much it costs. But he spent, what, like $5, $6 a day on Starbucks, right? So he stopped drinking Starbucks coffee. So the money that he's supposed to spend, say $6 a day, he put in his jar, right? Save for what? Why would he do that? Why? So he can have enough money for the camera, right? So he sacrificed his coffee, right? So he can buy his camera. Then his wife cannot say no, right? Because it's already in the budget. That's what how much he spent a day, right? So you think about $5 a day, 5 times 30, how much is that? Right, 150, right? Then actually 150, and then actually 6 months he can be able to get a pretty good camera. That I think probably a year for him, the camera he likes is expensive, right? So, you and I must do this, right? We sacrifice everything to gain our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we must do. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not come easily to us in the sense that in our faith, we must put effort, right? Remember when Ruth, right, said to Naomi, right, say, entreat me not to leave you. Entreat me not to leave you. Or to turn back from following after you. In other words, in our relationship with God is like this. We know that God would never leave us, forsake us. But we ourselves must follow after our Lord Jesus Christ. We must have that kind of effort. So when we think about this great treasure, we must know what is the greatest treasure we have. When we know what kind of treasure we have, then we would do everything and everything to gain it. Just like Zacchaeus. So we'll continue to study him tomorrow. And we can learn from him and to see you and I also can do the same thing to gain our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all kneel down and pray together, conclude the morning services. Let's kneel and pray together.